Good morning and welcome to the latest addition to Sermon Prep at the Way Church, which will be SP 101, Sermon Prep 101, and we're going to be discussing a few of the things that assignments we've had in the sermon prep up until today and for this week. And obviously, if you've done your sermon prep, you know that we are in John chapter 4 and quite a few verses this week, verses 1 through 42, a familiar passage of scripture to many of you, where we are discussing the woman at the well, and basically Jesus makes the statement he must visit Samaria, and he goes to Samaria to speak to her. I'm going to just begin with reading the scripture and discussing certain parts of it. But it says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, asked a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw.' And Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman answered and said, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you know now, and then the one that you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.' The woman said to him, 'I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am he.' And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled and he talked with the woman. Yet no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, 'Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, the disciples urged him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' And he said to them, 'I have food to eat of which you do not know.' Therefore the disciples said to one another, 'Has anyone brought him anything to eat?' Jesus said to them, 'My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life. And both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this The saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. And he told me all things that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So I hope you're working on your memory verse for this week, John 4:23. So I hope you've made your note cards. I hope you've, are saying it to yourself, reading it 5, 6, 10 times each, and meditating on the scripture. It's very important for you to make those note cards, because I'm telling you, that's a writing and reading exercise that really helps you to gain memory. A couple of things in day one on Monday. Of course, you had to write down your takeaways from Sunday's message. And then question number 4 said, who wrote the book of John? And tell a little about this John. When did he write John? And what are the other books in the Bible? What other books in the Bible did John write? And just a few notes there and things you may have discovered as you did your research. But obviously, this is disciple John. I'll get into more detail and later of exactly some of the characteristics or some of the things about him and who he was. But, I do want you to know this. You know, many times this is confused with John the Baptist. This is not John the Baptist. He speaks of John the Baptist, but this is John the disciple. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He wrote the Gospel of John, and he also wrote Revelation. And so I asked the question, how is John described in the Bible? John is described as the disciple in whom Jesus loved, and or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so I think that's pretty neat. And like I said, as we go throughout the week, I'll tell you a little bit more information about John. But I asked you to read John 4:1 question number 6 on Monday. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though he himself did not baptize, but his disciples, I asked what John is being referred to in John 4:1, and that obviously is John the Baptist, and that John the Baptist was baptizing in the wilderness, and folks were coming to him, but now the Pharisees are seeing that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than even John. And so that was a concern of theirs. And that's question number 7 says, read John 4:3-4 says, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Now, just a few notes there that, I asked you, I said, research and locate a map and outline the path of Jesus from Judea to Galilee, and discuss his need to go to Samaria. Was it on the way, and how many miles? So I hope you are researching that and looking to see how many miles that is. But one of the things I'll tell you is it's pretty much a straight shot. But the tradition holds, and the actual activity of the Jews would be not to go to Samaria, because they had much dispute with the Samaritans, and there's a lot of reasons why. The Samaritans promoted a lot of heresy, in that they would basically took the Old Testament writings, and at that time the canonical writings, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and they basically rewrote them to make Samaria the centerpiece of worship and the place of worship for the land. And obviously that was not the case. And so it brought about much dispute. And there's other research that you can do that looks at the basic intermarriage between the Jews and this group of people that made them feel as if they were not pure, and so there was some discrimination there, if you will, some hatred, and so Jews would go out of their way to avoid the city of Samaria, and so that's a little bit of research that I wanted you to get from there. Tuesday, we pick back up in chapter 4, verse 5 through 9, says, "So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.'" So I asked the question, what did you learn from the statement Jesus was wearied from his journey? One of the things I think we have to point out is the absolute humanness of Jesus. In the flesh, he was wearied, he was tired. He would get exhausted in his pursuit and in his ministry. And so, you know, a lot of times we think that, you know, Jesus is being the incarnate God, that, you know, he didn't experience these things, but he did. He experienced the emotions, he experienced the fatigue, he experienced the pain of man. And so that's something that I think is important for you to take from this. And what Jesus asked for, he asked for a drink of water. Why? Because he was hot, he was thirsty, he was feeling the sensation of thirst as we would. And his disciples were about getting food. So they had been on a long journey. They had traveled much, in that day, and it was hot, and he wanted water, and the disciples obviously wanted food. Question 4 on Tuesday says, read John 4:10 through 15. So Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." And what is the gift of God is the first question under number 4. And what is the gift of God? Jesus is the gift of God. Jesus answered, said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that says to you, 'Give me a drink,'" he says, "if you knew that I was the Son of God, if you knew that I was the Messiah, if you knew that I was the Savior of the world, you would have asked and you would receive this living water." So the woman was focused on the physical aspects of the words of Jesus, no doubt. She says, "Give me some of this water so I may not have to come back to this well. I don't have to come and draw. I won't be thirsty." Jesus was meaning that from a spiritual standpoint. Obviously, the woman was focused on the physical aspects of thirst and the need to come to the well and draw the water each day. But Jesus was focused more on the spiritual aspects of what he offered and what life he would bring and the sustaining power that he would bring. And ask the question of how do you do that same thing with Jesus today? Well, there's in many ways Jesus focuses. He calls us to a place of difficulty to step out in faith and to act and respond to him and to what he's teaching us. And we can so much get caught up in the uncomfortableness, the fear of what he's calling us to do, the fear of what he has asked us to take on, And that fear begins to drive us. We begin to look more at the physical aspects of what is taking place in our camps and our limitations, and not focus on what who Jesus is and the fact that if he's called you to it and the fact that Jesus has asked you to do it, that Jesus has full intentions of, through the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit and his word, of doing that very thing that he's called you to. He just needs you as an obedient vessel to say, yes, Lord. But we can get so caught up in the physical aspects of what we cannot do and what we don't have the abilities to do, that we can be just like this woman right before our Savior, having the opportunity to be blessed by doing the kingdom work and doing things for the kingdom, but altogether missing it because we focus on our physical limitations and our mental limitations and the things that we can't do. Question number five for Tuesday says, read John 4:15-20, and it says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. And why did the woman want the water? The woman wanted the water because she didn't want to have to come to the well again. She didn't want to have to thirst again. She felt like that this, as literally the words Jesus speaking to her, is that she would never be thirsty again. And at what time of day did the woman come to draw? And that's verse 6. So it made you go back up and kind of look at that. And it was the sixth hour. And so it was the hottest parts of the day. And it was also a part of the day where nobody else was there. If you notice, it was just Jesus and her at the well, because typically people would come to draw the water early in the morning to avoid the heat, to avoid the difficulties of the day. Yet this woman comes at the sixth hour for the very reason of not being around people. I mean, let's face it. It's a woman who has had five husbands, and the person that she's with now is not her husband. So she would bring much controversy to the community, to the place. And so I think that, you know, there was a big avoidance of the people in why she was at the water, at the well at that time. Question six says, where did Jesus go with his instructions to the woman? You know, she's asking for some of this water, and Jesus really pays no attention to the request for the water and says, go get your husband and come. You know, he's going to the heart of the matter. He's fixing to go directly, pinpoint accuracy to what her issue is and what her problem is. And I think that it's one of those things where, you know, Jesus does that with us very, very much. We get in a place where we are dealing with Jesus. We want to complain, or we want to discuss the struggle, but Jesus is going to the point of our issue, the problem with our issue, and so he says, "You go get your husband," you know, and basically he's saying, "Your problem is bigger than this water that we're talking about." And in question seven says, how has Jesus ever asked you a question or commanded something from you that penetrated your heart and soul and explained in detail? Jesus, they're in a conversation. He's in a conversation with this Samaritan woman about the water from the well and never thirsting again. And all of a sudden, on a dime, this thing turns into, you know, you've got issues that are far greater than water. You got five husbands. The man that you're with is not your husband. You jump from one place to the next. You have some very serious issues that we need to discuss. And so I think God does that with us, man. And you know, I asked you to share with one of those examples and share with a time where God has done that with you. And so I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll put it on paper and explain it in detail. But a lot more to come on this chapter, or these verses, first 42 verses of chapter 4 of John, about the Samaritan woman, and a lot of details coming in the next couple of days. So be listening out for SP 101, Sermon Prep 101 for the Way Church. Excited new addition to what we're doing at our church with Sermon Prep, and I hope you'll listen to this and gather these, you know, little further explanations that are coming with the Sermon Prep, and listen to it and enjoy it. Let us pray. Father God, we love you and praise you and trust you. And Lord, I thank you for this word, and I thank you for dissecting your word in such a way to knowing who you are and what you do in our life. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to strengthen us and guide us, and let this church become more concentrated in who you are in and through us. And Lord, being king and Lord of our life and ruling us with an authority, God, that we will absolutely submit to and to say, yes, Lord. And Lord, we just pray your mighty hand lead, guide, and direct all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.